Start your day with Triple M breakfast and a nice hot shower. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a ream.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
Hello, good morning.
Hello,
winners. Are you a winner? Are you a Lions fan? Well, you're on top of the ladder.
Yes, I am.
Are you a Broncos fan?
Yes, I am.
You're in the top four.
My Cowboys fan, I am now.
You're third. Are you an Australian soccer fan?
Yes.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Now, we jumped over the sport bulletin there in the news because there's been an incredible sport update.
Only one story!
Yes.
Hold on, let's tell the story. And we've been trying to, if you've just joined us, the game went for 90 minutes. It was nil-all, Australia versus Peru. It was a public holiday in Peru so they could all watch the game. They love the stuff.
Incredible.
We're vague watchers, but when it comes to the World Cup. So after 90 minutes, it was nil-all. Then it went to 15 minutes extra time, another 30 minutes, nil-all. And then it went to a penalty shootout. We were down at one stage. If anyone doesn't know, Graham Arnold, the coach, he sent on a replacement goalkeeper. Matt Ryan, the captain, went off with 1 minute to go. He sent on Andrew Redmayne, who's the keeper for Sydney United or Sydney FC. Football Club, FC. He played two games for the Roar back in 2011, so he's got a little bit of Brisbane in him. He's gone on. He's about 6'5". He's got a big ginger beard. Brett, hello.
Hello, Marto,
you
Margo.
Love your soccer.
Brett's our
and
sports
Dan.
Guy. Normally he would read you the news, but he's going to do it in here live.
He's got a bit of Redmayne about him.
Jump around
like one of those inflatables in car parks that you see. That's what he was like trying to put them off. And
the wacky arm wave.
He saved two penalties, and he needed to because Martin Boyle, originally from Scotland, missed our first penalty. Already
down.
On the back foot. Redmayne, who was subbed on, as you said, for Matt Ryan, that's a career-defining call from Graham Arnold, sends us into a fifth straight World Cup, bringing back memories from Uruguay in Sydney, that penalty shootout back in 2005, ended in similar fashion when Mark Schwarzer put off some epic saves and John Aloisi
sent us to
World
Cup. We were talking about
it
earlier, Brett. 1974 was the first time we make it. Then we don't make it again until what?
2006.
Ten, then 14, then 18, and now 22. Back to back.
Yep, did it the hard way. We should have gone through automatically. We started to fade late in the qualifying campaign. Two sudden death legs against the UAE. Beat them. Then Peru in Doha. South Americans are never easy.
Keep finishing.
No, that's okay. And then, as you said, we had probably control of most of that game. Aziz Behic, slalom run past two defenders, shot on goal just wide to go to a penalty shootout to make that call massive.
Fifth straight entry into the World Cup.
Yep.
Has it always come down to this sort of ending, like a penalty shootout type situation, or has this been our hardest one?
Well, this is very similar to the Uruguay qualifier back in 2005.
God, yeah.
Last time around under Ange Postecoglou, we had to beat Honduras in a sudden death match, but this was just edge of your seat
Peru
stuff.
Are a proper soccer nation, so
for sure.
Quite simply, this
religion.
Is extraordinary.
Yeah.
The World Cup, if anyone's wondering, is over in Qatar in November and December this year. It'll be the pickle juice. Everyone was cramping up out there tonight, and that's the sort of World Cup we're going to have.
We've got the audio here.
Let's play it
for everyone. So this is it. This is the moment. If Peru miss this kick, we go through to the World Cup. Take it away.
It's all on this for Peru. Alex Valera. And Redmayne makes the save. It's a save that means the world to Australia. They are going to the World Cup.
Tell you what, there'll be junior clubs teaching their keeper the wacky waving arm inflatable two-man keeping technique from now on.
They'll be going to the car yards and saying, just do that.
It's that easy. Soccer is back, baby.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Boys, we were in here yesterday talking about baby names of all things. And Marto, you have two children, Hillary and Harry. You went with the theme of H.
You know why, don't you? Because
is
the goalpost. So I had two goalposts. I didn't need any more.
Oh,
I've never told you that, have I?
No, you've never told me that.
I used to always write their names with little flags on the top too and a football going through the post.
Oh, that's cute.
That's the most rugby thing I've ever heard in my life.
I spent a lot of my time kicking a ball through goalposts.
H, that was symbolic for you.
What did you say about, are you allowed to say?
What?
about Jagger? He wasn't really going to be Jagger?
He wasn't really going to be Jagger. He was going to be Judd.
Yeah.
It wasn't a J thing. It was just, I love Judd. And we had it for Memphis, our first child. And then Corey just came home randomly and went, what do you think of the name Memphis? She ended up being a girl, so we used Memphis. And then Wiley. I didn't like Judd as a name for Wiley. And it sort of carried over. It was like a carryover
name
that didn't get used for the first two kids. So then I thought when the third kid popped up, I was like, yay, we can use Judd. And then 8 weeks out from my due date, one of my very close girlfriends said, oh, having a little boy, we're going to call him Judd. And I was like, oh, my God, that's my name.
Did she know?
Well, she swears she didn't know. Okay, she swears they watched a movie and in the credits the director was Judd Apatow. And the husband went, oh, hey, Judd, that's a cool name. I really like that. Yeah. And I was like, if that's all well and good, that's fair enough, fair game. It's name's a name, right? But I was like, for 4 years, I have been saying that I wanted to call my first and my second child Judd, and now I've got an opportunity to use it, and you're using it instead.
Can I just check? I don't know the degree of bitterness. Did I meet her at your birthday party?
No.
She wasn't there, eh?
She wasn't there, no.
It's okay. That's fine.
So anyway, so she then proceeds to call her child Judd. Along he comes, and there he is. And cute. Lovely. That's great nice boy. For you. Got a little boy called Judd. Yeah. I, however, do not have a name anymore that I now need to figure out. So we scrambled last minute. I was writing out first, second, last names over and over and over again to try and find a combination of names that I really, really loved. I loved Hendrix. Corey hated it. He loved River, but then Megan Gale decided to go and have a little boy and called him River, and then I was like, oh, everyone will think I copied her.
Oh, yeah.
So then I couldn't use River for a boy, and I didn't like it for a boy anyway. I liked it for a girl, which we ended up using for our youngest child, River.
Oh, God, there's so much to it.
So we had to go back and forth. I was Googling online forums, looking through books, checking lists.
It's like 4D chess.
Because I had a Memphis and a Wiley, so I couldn't call my kid, you know, John. You know, like it needed to be something.
You're not going biblical.
Within the theme. No. You know, it wasn't going to be Christopher. You know, lovely names, but just didn't go with Memphis and Wiley.
Did Corey go to that?
It's so stressful. I'm like, these last few weeks of my pregnancy are supposed to be enjoyable. Here I was stressing over a name.
Probably brought the nameless kid on
mine.
Quicker. All this stress from you.
1-3-5-3. It's a thing. Stealing people's baby names.
Oh, stealing the names. Not how you got them. Stealing them.
Well, if credit where credit's due. If she didn't actually steal it and know that it was my name.
Okay, okay.
But she did. 100% she did.
I feel like maybe there was.
I think there's a bit of it goes on.
Judd Apatow.
And she had her baby before me, so, you know.
We watched a movie and we saw the director was called Judd Apatow. No, you didn't. A better story would have been Chris Judd won his second Brownlow in the AFL. That would have made more sense.
Like, right, next door, the girly station, I've got a Jagger. She's got a Jagger. Our boys are a couple of weeks apart. She messaged me after my Jagger was born and said, hey, love the name. Do you mind if I use it?
Can I just throw one?
I said, no, I don't own it. That's fine. Go for it. Nice. It name's a name.
You know, you're talking about stealing people's names. Here's a different one. A friend of ours, their dog's name was George. They loved it so much. It was their fur baby. It was 2 years old. They took it for the child and changed the dog's name.
No way.
Yeah, bloody oath. Is that stealing a name?
Some of our best friends have a dog, Milo.
Yeah.
The boy, Miles.
Milo.
Miles.
Oh, that's stupid.
Close enough.
That'll do.
Yeah. Anyway,
1-3-5-3, stealing baby names. It happens all the time.
There's a lot of people who have probably rung up about stealing the name Jaden. Oh, you stole me Jaden name. Oh, I'm a Caden and Bladen and Raiden.
Yeah, Marto, I know a J-Bin.
A J-Bin.
No way.
Works for another radio station. J-A-B-E-N, I believe. J-Bin.
My God, that's magnificent. Yuck, that's so they went, we're not going to be Bogans and call him Jaden. We're going to go
Are you sure
Jabin.
It's not Jabin?
Jabin.
I might start calling him Jabin.
1-3-3-5-3. Mez from Kalanga. Stolen baby name. Who was it? What name was it? Which kid?
My son first, and his name was Lincoln Aaron. And then about 2 weeks later, a girl from my school had a son and called him the exact same name.
No way!
That mole?
Yes. It was like it's totally a thing, and I was like, why can't you think of your own thing?
Yeah, she knew too. That was the thing.
Yeah, she knew.
She knew.
Mez, it says
she did it intentionally.
First and middle name here.
Both.
Solid all.
First and middle name, and I actually had my son, and I went to her baby shower. And then, 2 weeks later, she had a baby and named the same thing my son was called.
Incredible. Did you ever confront her about it, Mez?
No, we weren't exactly close friends, so I was just like, oh, whatever, if you're going to steal my name, then
you know what, you did it first. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
She's a copycat.
Girls do steal a lot of things. Like if I was a girl and saw you wearing something nice, I go and buy that. And you don't mind that though, but you do mind.
It's flattery.
It's flattery.
But hang on, this is
because I
thing.
Don't dress for you, Marta. I dress for the women in the office.
If you rock up in the same thing at a night out, is there a little bit of you have to go home and change?
Twinning. Okay. No, I like that because it means that she has great taste.
What if she's
somebody
a mole?
Turns up in the same dress as me? I'm like, she's got great taste.
Oh, so I go to the Broncos and there's 22,000 people in the same jersey. Okay, who's got good taste?
I've got the 99 on. Go and put the 2003 on.
Michelle from Ormiston, 133353. Did someone steal your name?
Well, actually, my sister did.
Oh,
my eldest daughter was named Amber. So we thought, okay, well, once beautiful we found out name. We were having another girl, we thought, okay, well, we'll go with Jade.
Oh, and that's beautiful.
We said to all of our family, we're having a girl. She's going to be named Jade. My sister, who was 8 weeks further on in her pregnancy than me, knew that she was having a boy and she was going to name him Tristan John. So my sister went into labour, had the baby, went in there. She named him Jaden John.
Oh, so she called him Jaden and you had a girl, Jade.
Yes.
So and she just extended out the Jade and put an E on the end.
So my mother turns around and she said, well, you can't have a Jade and a Jaden 6 weeks apart.
So did you have to change it, canceled. Michelle?
Yeah. My sister turns around and she said, well, first in, first served.
Oh!
Well, that's fair enough. I like that.
And
one.
Michelle,
she
you've
wasn't
got a
even
theme.
Remorseful.
You've gone Amber and Jade. They're kind of rocks and natural formations, aren't they? Did you
beautiful
go through a list?
Crystals.
Yeah, did you come up on Onyx or what was next
no,
on the list?
No, we went and changed her name to Chelsea.
Oh, that's still beautiful.
I like that.
It is beautiful. However, my husband's a Liverpool supporter, so the family in Liverpool don't really appreciate the Chelsea.
Hopefully you spelled it with a Y and not an EA. Yeah.
How's Christmas at your joint?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty
not
good.
Tense. Yeah, are you and your sister on speaking terms?
Yeah, we are. It's all good.
Occasionally, I'm sure.
You occasionally pinch little Jaden on the back of the arm so Mum doesn't see.
No, he's a big Jaden now.
All right, we'll
thank
careful
you, Michelle. Triple M. Triple M Breakfast
with Marto and Marco. Hey, listen, while you're walking your dog, if you're going, geez, I see a lot of Labrador Retrievers, you would be correct because they are, the Brisbane City Council have revealed their data from their dog registrations, they're the most popular dog in Brisbane.
A Labrador Retriever, so not just a Labrador or a Retriever. Are they crossbreeding them?
Seems to be, yeah. Which
why?
They always have done, and that they're really good dogs and good with kids.
Labrador short-haired, Golden Retriever long-haired?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm just reading the stats for the Brisbane City Council.
Can you get a long-haired Labrador?
I mean, if you think Labrador and Retriever, though, those are two very fun dogs, why wouldn't you chuck them together and
I
see
mean,
what you get?
Normally you see Labradoodle, which is a Labrador Poodle cross.
They've said there's a lot of that going on too, but I just want to give you the figures. So Labrador Retriever number one, Maltese will not
this
crosses.
This is most popular dogs.
Most popular registered dogs in Brisbane. Maltese, then Border Collie, then the King Charles Cavalier Spaniel, if you know those little ones with the floppy ears. Mm. And then the Staffies. They're your top few. But
no French Bulldogs in there. I thought they'd be up there for sure.
French
see
Bulldogs.
A few pugs, or particularly in New Farm. A lot of pugs
they're
getting
around Tenerife. So let's go this one. So Border Collies, there's nearly 7,000 of them. There's
good
more
dog
than 7,500 of the Maltese, but there's only 1,500 French Bulldogs. Well, they're the $5,000 each or $8,000 each. Pugs, 1,400. Dash Hounds, 3,500. Yeah. That's in Brisbane. Okay, so gives you a general. Here we go. If you love a Kelpie like I do, go to Bracken Ridge. 101 of them live out there. Ted could get a good find out there.
Oh, it tells you where they are.
Yeah, if you want to check out a Schnauzer, 32 live at the Gap. So they know all these details.
So you go to the dog park there and you'll see a Schnauzer.
That's if hilarious. You like Schnauzer.
My little brother's got a dash down called Tank. Loves it.
That's
just
cute.
A little soso.
Cute.
Little soso
my
tanky.
Girlfriend's got two, Rusty and Alfie.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
Have you ever seen a pregnant one when their nipples rubble on
the ground?
Yeah,
that hurts.
Band-aid needed.
I get that too.
Hey, listen, I talk about this because a mate of ours came over the other day and he brought his dog with him and I said, he'd been talking about it. He had photos. It was one of those where they were waiting for the breeder to present the dog to them and it was all official and I started up a French bulldog. Cost him $6,000.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, I know. Did that hurt you?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And they're pretty popular, as we just read. But I didn't realise he had to sign this contract, and he described it to me. He's bought a house a few years ago. He said it is bigger than a house contract.
What do you mean?
The contract
like the
with the breeder. He is not allowed to allow his dog. It gets taken off him and he gets, I don't know, what happens? I think, yeah, they remove the dog if he tries to breed.
Well, you have to have a breeding license, yeah?
But what happened to the days of just
No, you can't.
Having a go? But wait. You buy the dog off, I buy the dog off you.
It's mine.
I now own it, surely. Well, it can't be yours just because you bred it.
I don't think that that's a them breeding license. It's the council. So, like, I know in
No. It's to the. He had to sign this document with the person he bought the dog from. It had nothing to do with the council. And also, there was something there. He got his $6,000 back if the dog died within a year.
Insurance.
Can I just check?
Hang on, the dog has a warranty.
The dog, a one-year warranty. I don't know if it's like a fridge you could pay an extra $200 for a extended warranty. But can somebody go through this with me? It's obviously happening with all these large amount of monies. I've never paid more than $500 for a dog in my whole life. If with now these large amounts of money, they're signing contracts. Have you ever heard about a dog contract?
I did ask for when we bought Buddy the poodle.
Yes.
Because he was sold to me as a purebred poodle. And when I asked for his papers, she wrote on a receipt book.
Poodle.
Stop it. One male black standard poodle, $3,000.
Thank you.
But Marta, could you imagine 6 months into owning this dog? Hey, mate, just checking if your dog's been rooting or not. I'm just doing a puppy scan.
Well, that's what I said. How are they going to find out?
How do they check it?
If he's been 133353, has anyone else been involved in dog contracts? It's the first
dog
I've ever heard of it.
Dog breeding contracts.
Dog breeding contracts.
Wow.
Give us the details. 133353. Oh, ask everyone else.
Let's ask Mandy from Carina. Good morning, Mandy. You've got two contracts, I hear. For what?
I've got two breeding Frenchies. So, the breeder pretty much gives me the dog on the premise that I take care of the dog.
Yeah.
So normal annual vet bills, there's specific food that they need to eat. When they go on heat, I let him know and then he comes and collects them,
Hold on, whatever they do. So you're just renting the dog?
Basically.
Well, yes. However, by the time that they retire from breeding, because he then needs a home for them, they become mine. So I don't pay for them. So the first female that I got from him, Lola, she's now 5 years old.
Yeah.
She was $24,000, Marto.
Hold on. Did you pay $24,000?
No. I don't pay anything.
Because she just maintains them. What does it cost to maintain them, though, over the last 5 years, Mandy?
Feeding,
vet bills, vaccinations, worming, fleas, all of that. That'd add up over time.
So I'd say it's about $350 a quarter.
Well, this is interesting. All right, so you're not a buy and lend back. You are generally looking after a breeding dog for him. Yeah, you're a kennel.
And Mandy, much like a rental contract, can you get a rental with utilities included, a.k.a.
You know
what I'm saying? Everything's actually paid for the dog. They drop your food off. No, it doesn't exist.
The only thing that he covers in terms of medical, because everything is done by cesarean and artificial insemination, is the breeding process.
Oh, so the dogs don't even actually do it.
No.
God, we're a weird species. Imagine aliens watching humans, what we're doing with other animals, cutting them open, impregnating them so we can keep them as little pets.
We've got to keep moving. That is an unbelievable story. Thank you for that.
Cameron from Upper Caboolture, 133353. Dog breeding contracts. Do you know much about them?
Yeah. The wife, she's a breeder as well, and we've got into the contracts. Very similar situation.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so explain. You're a breeder. Is it French Bulldogs?
Yeah. Can I plug her name? Is that all right?
Yeah, go for it.
Bloody oath.
Frenchies by Margox.
Margox.
Hold on. Is her name Margot?
No. It's designer. Designer sort of stuff. So Margaux.
Yeah, that's how Margot spells it.
Hang on. How were you saying Margot, Cameron?
Margot, yeah.
Yeah, no, but
Margox.
Say, are you saying Margox?
Yeah, Margaux is how she's.
Yep. Cameron, that's how I spell my name, Margaux. It's French and it's Margot.
That's the correct way of saying it. I think we have to start calling you
Margot.
Cam, we've recorded this segment. We'll use this for something else, but let's continue on with French Bulldogs for now.
Are you saying your own name wrong?
So Frenchies by Margox. You're at Upper Caboolture, obviously, there, Cameron, okay.
Yep.
And so you breed French Bulldogs and you have contracts that you then pass on to anyone that purchases a French Bulldog off you.
Yeah, and for its protection for dogs that she purchases as well, so genetic defects and stuff like that, because of the money involved. It's not a small purchase.
No.
Do you give cash back if the dog dies within a year? You heard that one?
Yeah. So genetic defects. So we had one just recently where the dog had an issue with its jaw and it actually like had a lockjaw issue, and the dog had to be put down. So that was one that she sold. Now she's looking to sort of work a deal and possibly replace that dog free of charge.
So Cameron, so what are some of the conditions in the contract? So they're obviously not allowed to breed them. Anything else?
Yeah, de-sexing's a big one.
So they have to be de-sexed?
Yeah, for responsible breeding, so we don't get like a lot of backyard and crossbreeding.
I understand.
Is that the responsibility of the purchaser or of you as the seller? Do you de-sex them before you sell them?
No, they're too young. They're way too young, so you got to wait till they're 12 months old. So
Great contribution, and especially about the Margox bit. We'll get back to you one day.
Thank
what about Matt?
That,
Matt from Fernie Hills had an 18-page survey before they could be given their poodle.
Oh, my God.
We can't go to everyone. And Brian from Middle Park had
He's got a staffy contract, not allowed, allowed to breed either.
Oh, God.
Brian, it's complicated.
Whole new world.
It's complicated dogs.
Triple M, Marto and Margox.
Marto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
Told you I went to the races on Saturday. Hadn't been.
Had a big win.
Hadn't been for 3 years. No, don't worry about the win. No, it went all right. But hadn't been for about 3 years. Went with Kath and a few of her girlfriends came. I wore...
Jeans?
Yes, and I wore a pair of black jeans. Black, they were nice jeans.
Do you own a pair of dress pants, like a suit pant?
Negative. Yeah. When I was, you know the strange thing, when I was at Fox Sports, they gave me over the years, I probably had half a dozen suits. I don't know
why
where they've all gone.
Why didn't you bust one of them out?
Because the only one I got left is a grey one. And I went, I'm not going to wear a suit. I wore a jacket because you had to wear a jacket where we went into the members. But so did everyone else. There was about 10,000 people in the members.
What kind of jacket? Like a suit jacket?
Suit jacket.
No, it was a tweedy looking one. Oh, it was a brownie tweedy
tweed
one.
Tweed jacket and jeans.
Yeah.
Did you look like a professor from Central Queensland University?
It doesn't matter, I'm old. And the thing was, I was with Kath's, a few of Kath's mates and their sons lobbed in, okay?
Didn't you go shopping last week for that wedding?
That was one of my outfits.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, that's why it was new. Mm. That's why I wore it again. I wore it to the wedding, and I hope I didn't run into anyone at the wedding. And there's the father of the bride from the wedding going, didn't you have that on
recycled
at the wedding?
Outfit.
That doesn't matter because blokes don't look at clothes. But I did because he did actually point out that's the same thing you had on last week. I went, well, I don't own a suit, proper suit anymore. I own one suit and it's ugly because I threw out all my suits. I went, I'm not going to wear suits ever again.
Would it be safe to say that most men are like you, unless they work in the corporate arena, that they would only have one suit?
These young guys, they're all about 23 years of age, between 23 and 25, and I started doing the survey. Four out of the six were wearing their formal suits.
Their suits, and they were
really a lot chunkier, so they were skin tight.
That was the 20-year-olds. Had you asked the 40-year-olds, it would have been their wedding suits, I reckon.
Can we talk suits?
30-year-olds, probably their court appearance suit.
Same thing as the formal suit. Can we talk about suits? Because I reckon it's only lawyers and, I don't know, accountants and stuff that own multiple suits. Is that... Would that be the case?
Yeah,
I reckon it would be safe to say. Yeah,
you might have a black one, a navy one, so you can rotate.
Have two or three suits. But I reckon if you're listening now, you've probably only owned one suit. How many wears has it had?
Yeah.
How many outings has your one suit had?
Yeah, let's find the busiest suit in Brisbane.
Busiest, right?
133353. It might have done a formal, a wedding, a court appearance, and a funeral.
But it might have done a few weddings. You might have had four mates married.
Who's got the busiest suit in Brizzy? 133353.
These young blokes were 23 and four of them had their formal suits on and they were busting. They were trying to do them up and you could see they didn't fit anymore. Slender 17-year-olds had turned into beer hound 23-year-olds whose suits didn't fit. And I just went, is that it, boys? Is that the only suit? Yeah, I'll get another one if I ever get married. None of them had girlfriends. I'll get another one then, probably. I went, yep, that's about right.
I'm
in my 50s and I only own one suit. And the other thing I saw, no one wears ties anymore.
Or socks.
COVID's got, there was a lot of them without socks on. But none of them wore ties. No one wears ties anymore. Incredible.
Good. If you don't have to, why would you
bloody
oath?
It's Queensland summer. Beautiful.
It's like a leash. Gary from Greenbank, how many suits do you own?
One.
One. And how busy has it been?
Once in 17 years. It was purple. It's from Melbourne Cup.
Oh, God. Purple. Oh. Why purple?
Oh, no. We just wanted to be different at the track.
Okay. And how many times have you worn said purple suit, Gary?
Once.
Oh, just once.
In 17 years.
Have you never been to, like, another wedding or a
christening? Yeah, but I wear a dinner jacket, white T-shirt and blue jeans.
Beautiful.
If you fronted up to court in a purple suit, the judge would just go, mate, just go direct to jail.
What are you, grimaced?
Like Monopoly, right?
Oh, purple's pretty stylish. Gary, if you did have to go to court, what would you wear, your purple suit or your best Broncos jersey?
you're asking me to wear donkey's jersey? No, I wear cowboy's jersey. The cowboy's jersey.
You've offended him now.
We did ask at our Triple M Legends lunch everybody to get dressed up nicely. Yes. There was a table of jersey-wearing gentlemen.
So did that mean they didn't own a suit?
They didn't. I don't think they owned a suit.
Does everyone own a suit or not?
Well, maybe 133353, the question should have been, do you not own a suit?
Yeah.
Why don't you own a suit?
Call us then.
Perhaps, yeah, 133353, give us a call.
They're at op shops and they're bloody cheap.
I love the borrowed suit. You know, it's slightly oversized and baggy and it's loose at the bottom. It doesn't quite fit. It's too long and then your arms are too long and it covers half your hand.
A lot of lads going to their formal in a dad suit.
Scott from the Grange, hello.
G'day. Marta just mentioned an op shop. I own one suit and that's where I got mine. It's a safari suit.
Oh,
what colour? What colour, Scotty?
I've got the bone, but it makes got a sky sort of powder blue one. Oh, it's cool.
It's a statement. All right, well, how busy's the safari been? Where's it been in the last few years?
Oh, it's probably it's slowing down now, but in the early days, we probably got out yearly, but, probably every 3 years now to piss up with mates.
If you had to go to court, what would you wear?
Probably my state of origin jersey.
Yes, exactly.
What about if you went to a wedding, Scott? That. Do you not go to weddings, or maybe you're at the back end? Maybe funerals? What would you wear to a funeral?
No, not funerals yet.
Not yet?
I've got a jacket, but I don't have a suit.
Scotty, I'm trying to picture the safari suit. Tell me it flares down the bottom.
Oh, the pants are getting a bit tight now, but yes, they do.
It used to flare, but now he's filled it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's have a close friend of your mum and dad's dies and you have to go to the funeral. Would it be your origin jersey with that jacket over the top?
I don't think the jacket would stretch that far over the top. Maybe it's all getting a bit tight. Yeah,
okay. So, Scotty, this one's getting too tight. You've got to get another suit. Will you go another safari suit, mate?
Oh, you can't find them now. They're too popular.
Like Bitcoin.
Stuart from Morningside couldn't get to him. He said three times in 35 years he's worn his suit, two deaths and one wedding.
Oh, God.
There you go.
That's terrible.
Well, if you don't own a suit, like you said, Margot, we've got time for a quick call on the other side of this. If you do not have a suit, 133353, it's Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
You know who is kicking goals, though? Anthony Albanese, our new Prime Minister. He's been in power from 3 weeks, of course, beating out ScoMo.
What's he doing?
For the top gong. Well, it seems not a lot because it's been relatively quiet on the Albo front. Everybody's like, where is he? What is he doing? He's going to Japan. He's going to Indonesia. He's talking to Jacinda Ardern. He's repairing our international relationships,
it
seems.
He's hobnobbing. Well, he's on the junket.
He's on the junket on the what's the, what are, you know, not the... the plane. What's the plane called?
Air Force One.
Not Air Force One.
You would get us
the plane.
What's our one called? Does it have a name?
I don't think so.
We need to name it, righto. We're going to start that.
Albo.
No, it seems he's doing some good stuff. Yeah. Obviously, he's on the bandwagon for higher wages, 5.1%. He reckons it should align with the inflation over the last however long. Yeah. Cheaper childcare subsidies.
Oh, bring that on.
The subsidies are going to go up, which means childcare is going to come down. And he's hoping to eventually at some point work with childcare centres and get the subsidy rates to 90%.
How are we paying for this? Well, with inflation about to skyrocket.
I got two young children, Marto. Yes. You shut your mouth. Okay. I got two kids that I cannot afford to send to daycare.
I think he's working off the same budget I'm working off, so you could discuss that.
It's called the never never. How are we going? What else did he promise?
Okay,
how are we going with that renewable energy stuff? Didn't we? Weren't we supposed to be in blackout last night?
Something like that. The Integrity Commission.
Yeah, I like that.
Morrison government obviously promised that they would deliver a federal Integrity Commission.
Yep.
He is going to promise that that will be happening. Mm. The Indigenous Voice, obviously the Uluru Statement. He's already put the Indigenous flag up in Parliament.
You like that.
They're going to the move would change the Constitution to establish an advisory body that would be consulted on matters affecting First Nations people. Ask the people that it affects?
Come on. Is this stuff he's going to do or has he done it?
A bit of both.
Going to eat at any stage? He's looking dreadfully
thin. I mentioned the cheaper childcare. The employment rates are going up.
Yes.
You know what it's not good for, though? I mean, it's great for the economy and the people. It's not great for memes. I mean, what are all these Instagram pages that, you know, normally paid out ScoMo and the government and the welding and the hairdressing? Like, Albo's not doing anything like that. It's kind of boring. I mean, even one has gone as far as to say, apologies if we haven't posted very much lately. It's hard to make memes when the Prime Minister is not embarrassing and destroying this country on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know who's going to suffer out of all of this? Batuta Advocate. If they're going to go under.
Where's their content going?
The Rabbitohs? They're going well under Albo. Has he been giving them salary cap concessions?
I don't know.
Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Margo, you never know what we're going to talk about on Triple M, and this is something that has never hit the airwaves here before. We're right in the middle of a cricket series between New Zealand and Australia, and we haven't even spoken about it. I'm talking about the blind cricket series. Australia's blind team is playing New Zealand blind teams. We've missed the first five T20 games.
It's on here in Brizzy as well.
This morning, in a couple of hours, we're about to have the first one-day international match between the Australian blind team and New Zealand blind team. Actually, let's let one of their great players, Nathan Letts, fully blind, all-rounder for the men's team. You've been involved in cricket with them since 2017. You don't play too many games, but you're right in the middle of it. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, yes. It's good to be back playing cricket again after everything that's happened.
Yeah.
How on earth does blind cricket work? I'm very impressed just with the name, mate, and the effort that must go into it. How do you play cricket if you can't see?
Yeah, so basically it's a hard ball with ball bearings inside it so you can hear it. Oh. And doesn't bounce a whole lot usually, so the ball's usually bowled underarm. So that way, if you're completely blind, you're batting, you can actually hear where the ball is. And same as like when you're fielding as well, if the ball's coming towards you, you can hear it coming towards you, which is good. And for the people who can see a little bit, it's sort of a bright white ball.
Do people get hit a lot? Like the wicket keeper, he must get hit a lot because the batsman had missed the ball a lot. Would that be correct, or have you guys nodded it all out?
Generally, the batsman doesn't usually miss it all that much, but the wicketkeeper is usually one of the people with the most sight on the ground, so they can see a little bit to not be able to hit, not be hit by the ball, which is good.
So there's different levels of impairment, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's totally blind people, there's people with about 5% vision and people with about 10% vision. So three different categories.
You walk in or run in and roll it along the pitch and it's, can you make the noise? Is it like a cat bell? What sort of noise is it?
It's literally like, it's literally a ball bearings inside a hard plastic ball, like a sort of sound.
Okay, good one.
Incredible.
Yeah, Nathan, are the umpires blind or is that just a rugby league?
Got him.
Is that the worst or best blind joke you've ever heard, Nathan?
Look, it's one I've heard many times.
Yeah, imagine.
But in all seriousness, are the refs blind?
No, they're fully sighted.
And are there other people out there that are fully sighted to help maybe some individuals who might need a little bit of help if they have, you know, 0% sight, or is it just you guys and then a sighted umpire?
Yeah, just us and the two sighted umpires. That's
nice.
It.
Awesome. So you've played T20. Is that indeed 20 overs each team?
Yep, exactly the same as a normal T20.
All right. How many runs did each team get on average?
Well, it depends. If you get it through the field, I guess. We've got some pretty good batsmen, which is helpful. But, yeah, usually we've got sort of good totals to get is like 200-odd. We made 300 in one of the first games, actually.
Oh, Jesus. Hang on, for a 2020, not
that's
a one-dayer.
That's our actual cricket.
Yep. 300?
For a T20.
Oh, yep. God.
How did your journey into the International Inclusion Series start? Were you born blind or is it something that you lost over time?
Yeah, I was born half blind, so I was able to see enough to get around out of my right eye, like without a cane, and then I sort of lost that probably about 10, 15 years ago. You've got to adapt to it. So then I eventually, a few years later, started playing blind cricket.
Amazing. Inspirational story. So, mate, today's game, 9:30 this morning against New Zealand Blind. It's the first of the one days. Where's Jeff Dimmick Oval, the great left-hander used to play for Queensland and Australia? Where is that?
I think it's Kedron.
That's at North Cricket Club. Nathan, go well today, mate. It sounds unreal and you're inspirational.
Oh, thank you. Give it our best shot.
104.5, Triple M, Marto and Margo.
Time for a bit of Queen, if you wouldn't mind. No. The Queen.
My apologies.
Hard to get both good help around.
Both beloved by the Triple M listener.
But this one, you thought she was gone. You thought we wouldn't be hearing about her for a while.
Mean?
Well, I thought the next time we'd have the Queen poke her head up, it'd be at her funeral, which, by the way, will be a belter of a day.
It'd be kind of weird if she poked her head up at her funeral.
Oh,
shut the casket!
Wouldn't surprise me, because longevity is what she's all about, this queen.
Could you imagine Charles's face if he just thought he was getting his head on the coins and then she puts her head up?
No! Shut the lid! God damn it, woman, just die, would you?
All right. Woo.
Sorry. Disrespectful?
Yeah, because she's
Have you got your Queen magazine there in front of you?
Yes, I do have my Queen magazine. Have you seen her in that outfit there? Or look at that!
Incredible.
He's very touchy,
$8
Margaret.
For that Queen magazine. Glad I didn't pay it for
We have to be respectful.
What are some of the articles inside it?
Well, we'll have a look. Over the years, look at the family tree. Oh. Aren't they munters?
They're all inbred, aren't they?
Oh,
that's how
perhaps.
They roll.
No, in this tree it says that they're not.
No, that's they what they would say. Of course they would say that.
Have a look. So look at some of those
she
photos.
She is lovely. I love the Queen.
And that's why I wanted to talk about her.
Look at all those jewels. Jeez, I'd love a crown.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you.
Tell me.
The Queen is breaking records that no one even knew existed.
I told you, she has the most world records, Guinness World Records.
Here she goes again.
The Queen keeps notching up memorable milestones, becoming the world's second longest reigning monarch in history, overtaking the late King of Thailand, who was on his throne for 70 years and 126 days.
Cop that, Thailand!
Oh,
we got you!
Gosh.
And you go, she's only second longest in history.
I thought she was the longest reigning monarch.
Longest British monarch.
British monarch. Okay.
Longest
in the world.
Ever in all history of dictators and tyrants. And
humanity. Like everyone. Recorded
history.
She owns all of the British dolphins. You know that, don't
and
you?
And I think she owns the swans as
swans
well.
Swans and the dolphins.
And the trout.
She has the longest lineage of corgis in history.
Right. Who's she got to beat? Who's number one?
This bloke.
The Queen has only Louis XIV left to beat. He was ruler of France for 72 years and 110 days.
You go get him, girl. 2 years to go. Will she make it?
Yeah, she will. Yeah, the Queen.
Are the bet?
Go, Queenie.
Can you get a bet on that, whether the Queen will beat Louis XIV?
I bet you yeah, sports bet.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
104.5 Triple M, it is Marto and Margot.
A lot of us shutting down the afternoon yesterday got to the news that there was going to be an enormous risk of blackouts last night in Queensland and told to quieten things down, your aircon, your second fridges, and everyone started to panic. And we're being told there's challenging days ahead in terms of power, and we don't really know what's going on, which is why we go to this guy, Paul Simhauser, who's Powerlink CEO. You guys control all the power in Queensland. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Paul, what happened yesterday? Tell us.
So, very cool weather front, obviously, particularly in southeast Queensland. And one of the things that we spotted pretty early on in the day was it was elevated demand. So we'd ordinarily expect on a morning like yesterday about 7,500 megawatts of electricity consumption from consumers throughout Queensland. But it was up around 8,000 megawatts, so up about 7 or 8%. And looking at the evening, it was looking just as high, or even a bit higher than that. On the supply side of our market, we had about 7 generators off doing maintenance. Now a number of those were sort of preset, you know, sort of scheduled maintenance outages, but a few of them were running repairs. You know, they were unexpected outages, and the combination of them meant that, you know, between the high demand and the sort of the curtailed supply, the system was looking very tight last night.
Can we have a look at those two? So does that mean everyone went out on the weekend because they were cold and bought extra heaters, or they started turning on the aircon? That's part one. And the other one is, shouldn't the generators be done at a time like in autumn or, you know, before the cold comes?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So look, there's no doubt we have seen some record winter demands over the last few days. And look, you're right about the generators too. You know, we're sort of late into the maintenance season, that's for sure. I guess one of the things that I'm sure all of you have noticed when you're supply chain issues and constraints on just labour availability and so on. So all that's having an impact. And then there has been some emergency repairs. So we've had a few generators that have had, you know, just those mechanical breakdowns. So they've taken them off to make sure they can still operate the plant safely.
Paul, it's a very third world thing to have this energy rationing. Shouldn't we be better than this? Or is this part of the transition to renewables, that we're letting the coal-fired stations go down the hill and we're not refreshing them, and we're going to be facing more of this in the future?
Look, no, not necessarily. So look, at the moment, all of the coal generators in Queensland, you know, all of them are actually still, you know, sort of actively producing in the marketplace.
Okay.
But a number of them are going through, they're just going through maintenance. And those maintenance, as we discussed, has probably gone on a bit longer than we thought, and a couple that were dealing with running repairs.
Right. Put it simply, for everyone driving in right now listening to this, there's a fair bit of panic yesterday afternoon. Everyone got home. That was the big discussions in everyone's household. What's our immediate and short-term future of energy looking like? Are we going to have these threats come more frequently?
Look, my expectation is not. This evening, it'll be another tight market. But, you know, I'm not, certainly as I sit here right now looking at our forecast, we're not expecting you know, any form of risk to supply. The key thing, though, is just to make sure that, you know, our available generators are up and running. And secondly, just on the demand side for households, just be thoughtful about your electricity just for this one more evening.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, if you are sort of turning on your air conditioners to keep the rooms a bit warmer, don't set it to blast furnace mode. You know, maybe just set the settings to 18 or 20 degrees C to knock the edge off, and you'll save a few dollars along the way.
Paul Simhouser there, the Powerlink CEO on Triple M. Marto and Margo.
Marto and Margo. Triple M Breakfast.
It's Corey and Margox down in Cornubia. Sorry to correct you, Dan, there. But no, I just wanted to actually bring attention to the fact that this morning when I got in my car, there was a card on the front seat of my car.
I'm reading it.
And it says, "I really lucking fub you."
Oh,
he's so careful.
When I read it this morning, I thought it was the other way around. I thought, oh, that's so sweet. He really effing loves me.
It's spoonerism, right?
Is that from your husband?
Spoonerism. And look, spoonerism. There's all the words inside the card. I won't read them all because it's long. Winded. But it says, "Marsh, I know things have been extremely busy for us lately, but I just wanted to make special mention of the work you do for us. Over our lives are very unique in the sense of our jobs require us at different ends of the week. I know how taxing it can be on you, and I love you more than ever and appreciate all that you do for us."
Is this from the mailman? Who
and
said
I just
this?
Wanted to say, over the weekend while Corey was away, here I was thinking, you know, maybe he's having an affair with someone, maybe he doesn't love me
he's
anymore.
He's watching rugby league.
Is it because I
goose?
Got too chubby? But no, we're just busy. And so I think it's really important. I just wanted to say, boys and girls, tell your people that you love them and that you appreciate them, because it can make all the world of a difference. And I now remember that my husband does love me very much. We're both just really busy, and we're just in the trenches with kids and sport and driving everywhere and doing all of the things that you forget to make time for each other.
And remember that before you have a fifth child.
Yes.
You're already busy and you love him.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.